Tonight's service will be a reenactment, a partial reenactment of the dedication of that temple that Solomon built. And of course we know that the temple represents a place where the presence of God could rest. And of course the ark represented the presence of God. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are all living stones fitted together in the house of the Lord. We are the temple of God tonight. And Romans 12:1 also says for us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. We know that as the temple was dedicated and as the sacrifices were presented before the Lord himself came down and consumed the sacrifice. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and we invite the Lord to come and ignite us tonight like he ignited the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Set us on fire, Lord, so the world can watch us burn for you. Glory to God.
A palace of praise, a throne of thanksgiving, made for the King of Kings. Sing out a joyful song, His love goes on and on. When praise is abound, His glory surrounds us, building His
as one with music and singing. Rejoice in all that the Father has done. Let's lift up an offering.
Sing out, the Lord is King.
Build him a temple here.
Build him a temple here.
A palace of praise, a throne of thanksgiving, made for the King of Kings.
Thank you.
Let's go up with a shout and glorify the Lord. Oh, yes. A great processional preceded the dedication of the temple. And tonight, we want to go up joyfully. 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 Worshiping the Lord, praising Him, and giving Him glory. Hallelujah.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, Lord Jesus. Good morning, Father God. Woo! Good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, Jesus believers. And good morning to this deadline. I am so happy this morning. I want to thank you, God. I just want to thank you, God. I tell you, this one is one for the books. So wherever you are this morning, if you're able to, Brother Joe, remember when it was just you and me, and we would get together and you and I would dance and step on the devil's head. You remember that? I want you and I to dance a little bit this morning right here. Come on up here with me. Wherever you are, I want you to pick up your feet in the name of Jesus. We ain't going to do nothing but one or two steps, but we're going to, me and Brother Joe, going to dance and step on the devil's head this morning because the devil is defeated. The devil is defeated, and Jesus is victorious, and Brother Joe and I have not done that in a long time. But we're going to just take a few seconds this morning to step on the devil's head in the name of Jesus. You step on his head wherever you are. Pick up your feet this morning.
Tonight's service will be a reenactment, a partial reenactment of the dedication of that temple that Solomon built. And of course we know that the temple represents a place where the presence of God could rest. And of course the ark represented the presence of God. 1 Peter 2:5 says that we are all living stones fitted together in the house of the Lord. We are the temple of God tonight. Romans 12:1 also says for us to present ourselves as living sacrifices. We know that as the temple was dedicated and as the sacrifices were presented before the Lord himself came down and consumed the sacrifice. We offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and we invite the Lord to come and ignite us tonight like he ignited the sacrifice. Hallelujah. Set us on fire, Lord, so the world can watch us burn for you. Glory to God. A palace of praise, a throne of thanksgiving, made for the King of confess the Son of your saints and live in their praises. The Lord inhabits the Son of his saints
and live in their praises.
Oh. Together as one with music and singing, rejoice in all that the Father has done. Let's lift up an offering.
Sing out. The Lord is King.
Build him a temple here.
Build him a temple here.
A palace of praise. A throne of thanksgiving. Made for the King of Kings.
Very deeply stay within, seeking the right no more.
nothing else could help, love lifted me. Thank you, Brother Joe. The old blues man still got it. I guess some of y'all know, some of y'all don't. Brother Joe used to be a blues musician. Brother Joe plays a couple things. He played a guitar. He played at the drums, and he played the keyboard. Praise God. I just thank him. You know what? It's a lot of miraculous things happening right now. I don't know. I see this song and it keeps popping in front of my eyes, and it's like, it's a William Murphy song and say, love never fails. Let's listen to that for a minute. And then I'm going to share some things with you. It's some powerful things happening here for the Ministry of Spiritual Freedom. You know, how can I say this? I guess the best way to say it is truthfully. I guess I'll say it this way. A book came yesterday. And this book, can I talk about it? Okay. This book is a book that Jose read when he was how old? 8 years old. Now, number one, it's a miracle for me to get this book because the book was Spanish. Because, you know, even although Jose was born in America, his parents went back to Ecuador, and he was raised in Ecuador. So his mom was born in Peru. His mom was born in Peru. His dad was born in Ecuador. So anyway, you know, I've been working on Jose deliverance for a while, and very hard, trust me, it's hard to get an atheist delivered. But I want to tell you something, it's even harder to get a scientist delivered. Because they always revert back in their mind to what they know as a scientist. Anyway, in the course of our conversation, Jose was telling me about this book that he read on aliens. And that his mom had a friend. Now, all these people are in the intellectual class and I guess the upper class, the educational class, intellectuals over there in Ecuador. And they all are because they're all, you know, I'll tell you about his background. Anyway, This book came up, and Jose was telling me about the book. I can't even tell you how these are the kind of conversations we have, because I think that demons and aliens and all that stuff, you know, in the same category as far as I'm concerned. So we were talking, and then he was telling me, and I'm trying to put these keys together for his deliverance. So he was telling me about the book. So you all know he's a research scientist anyway, by profession. He went and found this book, and he said, this is the book that I read at 8 years old. And I looked at the book, and I said, interplanetary something from the U.S. of A, headquartered in Miami, Florida. So then Jose comes back and said, here's the book, because I usually look stuff up, especially when I saw that Miami, Florida, and I saw The book is actually about how old now?
40.
The book is older than that. You read it 45 years ago. 40-some years ago. What?
50 years ago.
He read the book 50 years ago. So the Holy Ghost say, you got to get that book, something in that book. So then I researched the book, and I find out there is one translation here in the U.S. of A. And the book was pretty expensive, trust me. But the Holy Ghost said, you got to have that book. So I didn't say anything to Jose or Brother Joe or anything. I bought the book. It took me, in buying that book, it took that book, I counted the days. It took that book 48 days to get here. But it came yesterday. From the moment and this is how they had the book wrapped. Remember I told you I spent a lot of money on this book. I ain't going to tell you how much, but you're going to find out it was worth it. So when I got the book, it was in a plain cardboard box. I didn't even know that was the book. It's just that something came in a plain cardboard box. And it didn't have where it was coming from, but it had that it was mailed, and I had to sign for it, registered mail, and it was insured. And when I opened the first box, it was another box. I opened the second box, and I saw it was wrapped in a white padded manila envelope folded in half. And then when I opened the envelope and saw the book, a whole slew of demons hit me in the face. It hit me in the body. It hit me. I started binding. I started rebuking. And I was going to pour my oil on the book. But I didn't pour my oil on the book. I just set the book aside because I want to pray and bind up. Brothers and sisters, that is, y'all know about Annabelle, right? And the Warners, okay, the Warners had the doll Annabelle, the doll would animate. And they kept that doll in their house. And I talked to them about it. Because they had a whole museum of occult, demonic, strange things in their house. And I asked them about it one time, and they said that don't bother them. I said, okay. Anyway, I said, I'm going to have to deal with these demons from this book. I couldn't even, I opened up the page. And remember I told you last week, my father in the Lord, his book, his old book on trauma, was selling for $974. Well, I think I found some. I think I found some in his estate, but they would only let me have one. They would only let me have one. But they told me that they would see about, I have all his other books, but I mean, I have copies. But I got original copies. But anyway, I looked at this book, and it's the only translation available in English, and it was translated by a professor at Princeton University, translated this book into English. And so I went to see if there was another translation in English, because the print is so little. So after I got through binding up these demons, I just said, man, I just got to put this in a Ziploc bag and just put the oil across the zipper and read this or try to read it when the Lord tell me to read it. But that is the most evil thing I think I've ever touched in my life. And the peculiar thing about this book is that it tries to draw strength from you. Okay, it tries to draw energy, is the best way I could think of trying to classify it. So what happened was I just finished see not only do I ask you all to read your word and keep close to God, I do it too. I don't ask you to do nothing I don't live. It's a lifestyle with me. So I didn't even address the demons with Jose. I didn't even address them because I didn't hear from God other than God said by the book. I don't even know. I prayed that this society or whatever. Now, this would have been... I bind and rebuke you, Satan, because I had deliverance this morning in here. But you see, this society or whatever it was, they got a name on the inside of the book. This society was before Miami appealed to the Supreme Court, and they were granted the right, because of their religion, to sell live animals for sacrifice. Now, I have a copy of that Supreme Court document, in case you're curious about what I'm saying. It would be before the Haitian Botanicas. They were doing it illegally anyway, selling chickens and birds. But the one of the big guys down there went and got the stuff passed through the Supreme Court. So now that is why now you can buy a live animal for sacrifice in Miami. And in the state of Florida. So this book probably, it has to be a precursor to that. But the thing is, it was only in Spanish. When Jose was given the book by the friend of his mother happened to be a librarian, by the way, in the U.S. Embassy Library, by the way. And you know what other jobs she had. So when Jose was given this book, it was a form of transference and it made him an initiate into whatever this is. So we last night, they and me too finished a little study on knowing God, knowing God. And I was thinking about, I need to do a faith clinic. That's what the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit. After I go and do, I got one more thing to do in this mission. So when I dropped off to sleep, I have to say, kind of like Paul said, whether I was in the body or out of the body, I'm not real certain. But it was an open vision. You know the difference between an open vision and a closed vision. I taught you that. It was an open vision. And in this open vision, I don't know whose house it was, but I know it was a big room, and I was standing up looking at the rooms in this house, and the rooms were painted a kind of tangerine and yellow, but the trim was in a beautiful cherry wood. And as I was standing there looking, this big, I don't know what it was, came and stood beside me and said, "Look." And I'm looking at this room, and I'm looking at the walls, and I'm looking at the hardware, you know, the trim. And I'm looking at the wood. I'm admiring the paint job, and I'm admiring the wood, the trim. And all of a sudden, it looked like I stuck my hand out to touch the wall, and the wall started moving. The wall was not solid. And then this big, it had to have been I'm not even going to try to tell God makes it plain. This big, giant, whatever, had something that looked like a fumigating machine. Like a fumigating machine. The difference is it was coming out of the mouth of this thing. And now I know, at first I thought it was a white gas, but it was white spirits. And all of a sudden, what I thought was a solid wall, these little creatures began to die. They began to drop out the walls. What I thought was hardware was them. What I thought was walls was them. And they have the ability to like a chameleon. They had the ability to transform themselves. So I'm looking at them, and I'm looking at this giant. I couldn't see its face, but I could see his hands with this thing. And as it was spewing out these white spirits, all these hidden things that I thought were the wall and the structure began to fall on the ground and die. They were dying in droves. They were dying in millions. They were dying. And I'm looking at them. And I'm thinking, how could they have been hidden like that? Right in your face. Hidden in plain sight. And they began to die. And this big, giant, I can't say it was an angel. I ain't going to say that. It was not an angel, and it was not a man. But it had fingers, and it could carry this equipment to kill off all these things that were disguising themselves in these walls. And so I had the TV on, and when I looked, I came back, and Pastor Todd Smith was on the TV, and he was preaching about prayer and God. See, I keep myself surrounded by the word, by the things of God. And I listened to him. You know, that's the North Georgia Revival. And I listened to him. And I sat there. And my mind, even as I'm recounting this open vision, I'm recounting how this thing, he put his hand in front of me and pushed me back like, I got this. You don't have to do nothing but watch. I got this. And all those things. So I then, it must have been about, I meditated on it and I got my word out. And this is what God gave me. He gave me this, 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I thank the Lord, brothers and sisters, as I was meditating on this scripture right here, it just came alive to me. And I thank the Lord that I'm never discouraged in my walk with God. Though my outward man is subject to death, my inward man, spirit man, is being renewed daily with resurrection life. The pressures that I've been under and the pressures that I'm under now are but a light affliction and only momentary. And after God brings you through it, it never seems half as bad once it's passed. Therefore, I will endure the pressure because I know on the other side of it is an eternal reward of glory, far outweighs what I must now endure, and you too. But you got to keep your eyes fixed on what is unseen. But what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen is eternal. You can add Psalms 103:5, Romans 8:18, Hebrews 11:1. Second Corinthians 4. 1 through 18. So I didn't have time to look those scriptures up. But I've got one more thing to do. And I was talking to Brother Joe. I wasn't really talking to Brother Joe about this because this, I know this is something God had to finish in me. and me. But I was thinking, how, I don't have the extra money, okay, to do what God asked me to do. But I told Brother Joe yesterday, I said, Brother Joe, you got to get the car ready. Because I've got this final thing. You see, God began to put these puzzle pieces together for me. I used to love mysteries, man. Now mysteries are a way of life, solving these Holy Ghost mysteries. So I knew, I said, I know I don't have the extra money to do this. How am I going to do this, God? So I come in here by myself. As I passed down the hall, I knocked on their doors. Got them up. Because I keep such weird hours. I sleep when I'm tired. I study, read. But I cut on, the Lord said, cut your computer on. I said, okay. Don't you know God moved on somebody while I was sleeping? And I got up and the money was in my account to go do what God told me to do. I love them. You can't beat them. That's why I didn't call anybody when I asked for the three people to do this with me. I didn't call anybody because I knew in my heart, I knew I wasn't ready yet. I knew, even although I know, I guess I was kind of like Moses, you know, when he killed that man, killed the Egyptian, because he knew what he had to do, but he couldn't do it on his own. But that just brings you into the pressure. Because you know, how many of you know God put pressure on you? God will put a pressure on you like you ain't never experienced before. And you can't get it off until you do. It won't even lift. It won't even lift off of you. And you, until you do what God wants you to do. And I told Brother Joe and Jose, I said, look here. Here's the money. I got to do what God told me to finish. I'm not finished. You see, brothers and sisters, the scripture says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. I keep these scriptures in front of my eyes. There's the money. I said, I absolutely, positively do not have a doubt. While I was sleeping, God moved on somebody to put the money, send the money. They didn't know what they were sending the money for. But this person was obedient and sent the money. I'm going to do. Jessica, put this in that chat room. I'm going to do a faith clinic so some of you can get healed. I'm going to do a faith clinic. You got to be patient with me, and you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. And you got to remember something. I don't boast and I don't brag, but I am a forerunner. I am a forerunner. That's all. Servant. I'm a forerunner. Most of the time, I'm ahead of my own self and don't even know what I'm doing. That's why I don't like to make, I don't like to say I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that or I'm going to commit to this, because God has the right to interrupt me any moment, any second, any day, any time, any place, anywhere. And then somebody going to be disappointed because I'm going to be going to see what God want me to see or do or whatever. What is God doing in all this? What is God saying in all this? I told you, I'm in a new place in Christ. And you're supposed to be in a new place too. You're supposed to be in a place where you could lay down your life and God could tell you at any second, get up and go to Slovakia. And you're supposed to be able to know you can get up and go to Slovakia. All you're supposed to do is pack your clothes. God could say, get up. I'm sending you to Portugal. You're supposed to be in a place with God where you could start packing the minute he tell you where he needs you to go. You should be, your faith in God should be at a place where you don't even say how, but you just say when. I believe that so many people are missing out on so much from God because they're not available. They're available for their agenda, but I'm not so certain. What you mean by that? Well, I mean this. I think you got evangelists that say they preachers. I think you got preachers who say they prophets. I think you got prophets who should be pastors. I think that God is going to, he's already doing it, I'm sorry. Forgive me, God. He's going to reinsert some of his people in the offices and in the callings that he originally called them to. And this is why so many people miss conversion, and if you miss conversion, you're going to automatically miss transformation. Now, God started really talking to me about being transformed about, a couple months ago, maybe six. Well, it started really from the time I took Ted. Transformational, extensive deliverance. From the time when I read about the transfiguration of Jesus. Okay? If Jesus was transfigured and transformed, then, brothers and sisters, you and I are supposed to be also. But the question is, you see, a lot of people can preach the word, but they can't help you get to the point you need to be based on their preaching. A lot of people can, and I try to do so much, sometimes I don't even get but half done. I never finished the teaching on circumcision. But I know these things, and they're still with me. But the key foundation for everything, you got to have the key. Just like the tabernacle, you got the outer court, your body, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. And they all got to be, just to use a short-term word, saved. Too many of us are still in the outer court. We haven't even come into the inner court. And you see, when you get into the Holy of Holies, transformation. Transformation takes place. Transformation takes place in the glory. But it seems that these demons have prevented people from standing in the inner court. They can get in. But the devil has worked so hard to kick them back out. So if you can't get in the inner court, how you going to function? How you going to function? You can't function in the outer court. I'm telling you. That's just your entryway. And I've been watching. I've been sitting here watching. I've been trying to listen to God and trying to help people. Even it seems like the new Christians in Paraguay are further advanced than the church in the, of Jesus Christ in America. You know why? Because they got delivered for real. People coming to church over there, they even although I don't have my teachings in any kind of sequential order, because every day when I come on here, it's to help one person or two people or somebody, and Jesus does that too. Your body is constructed just like the temple. Your flesh is the outer court. Your soul is the inner court. And the Holy of Holies is your spirit, brothers and sisters. And they all got to be on one accord. And because not enough good, strong, foundational truth has been taught to the people that the Lord sends me for deliverance, I have to go all the way back. I have to go all the way back, and I have to reconnect them with Jesus. And then Jesus has to connect them with God. And once they have the reconnection with Jesus and God, and then the work begins. The work begins. And let me tell you something. I have been fought every step, every inch of the way. But glory be to God. Glory be to God. I passed the test. What was the test? Would my faith remain strong in God? That was the test. Can you fight these battles? And then can you take on these other folks' battles? And then can you fight the demon I put right beside you? In my house, in God's house. Can you overcome that one too? Well, I'm here to tell you something. Yes! Yes! It has been one hell of a battle. I repeat, it has been one hell of a battle. But I don't know how this William Murphy song sounds, but I'm going to tell you this. Love never fails. Love never fails. Love lifted me. I don't keep my eyes on people. I don't keep my ears on people. But I keep my eyes focus on the Lord and love people and just keep moving. Love is what constrains me to pray all night. Plus, I love praying. I love praying. Love it. Brothers and sisters, anything, anybody that's attempting to change your love life with God, get rid of them. You know how you get rid of them? You dispel whatever the love of God is blocking. And the love of God, it's not ooey, gooey, gooey, gooey God. You know, it can be some of that. But the love of God is peace. The love of God is that joy unspeakable. The love of God is right standing with God, different from the world. It is, and that's why, you know that song, the Trinity Inspirational, give up the world. You really do. And it's a hard thing because we live in this world, but the Bible says we're supposed to live in it, but not be of it. And you can do it. I'm telling you, you can do it. But your dependency has to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's got to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, a tree planted. Your roots got to be deep in Christ. And guess what? You don't just wake up. It requires work. It requires you not be spiritually lazy. It requires you to stop doing a lot of stuff you used to do. And it might be difficult, but you could do it. God always requires a sacrifice. Remember Jesus? He was God's sacrifice for you on the cross. He took all that stuff for you because he ain't never seen. Never. He gave up heaven to come down here to earth so you could be free. And then he gave up the world and went back to heaven so you could be free. You got a lot to do for God. I'm still working on my project on the brain. And the God is showing me how the brain works. And you know what else? I got to do a project that God gave me to do. Ain't nobody else done it before. At least I haven't seen it. Well, I'm a pioneer in Christ. A lot of my friends are dead and gone, but I'm still here, so I still got work to do. And some of that work is training up some of you all. But it's one thing you're going to have to do, and you're going to have to make up your mind, and you're going to have to get it done. And that's this right here. You got to do this.
Give up the world now. Give up the world. for no curses. Ain't got time for no backbiting. Ain't got time for no gossip. Come on out of that world. Come on out of that world. Come on out of that world. Well, Lord. Well, Lord. Well, Lord. Well, Lord. Well, Lord. Yes, sir. Well, Lord. Give it up. Give it up. Give it up.
Brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean God is going to take something from you. Whatever you got, he called you to do. Don't you know he's going to bless you in that? Why? Because you trust him with it. Because you trust him with what he has for you to do, not realizing that he's the one that called you to do it in the first place, and he got to bless what he called. See, God got your answer. It's Jesus. God got your success. It's Jesus. God got your fulfillment. It is in Jesus. Whatever you need, God's got. That's what that means. If you're a doctor, God made you a doctor. He want to make you the best doctor that exists. God caused some of you to do things that the world unperverted. But you still run around out there in the outer court. You still think you got to do it. So I want to tell you something this morning. I said it yesterday. Whatever God has called you to do, he's already got the provision for you to be able to do it and do it successfully. But he just wants you to give it back to him. You hear what I'm saying? Give it back to him. He's got it. He's got... Oh, how can I get this to you? Anyway, I got that last thing I got to do, and I'm going to get it done. And then watch what happens. He's about to manifest himself through those believers, through those who will believe, to those who will surrender back to him what he gave to them. Watch. God's got it for real. He got it. He got it. I say God's got it for real.
God.
posted a scripture. I'm going to leave you with this one this morning. Proverbs 14:11. The New King James Version. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Remember, your flesh is the outer court. Your soul is the inner court. And the Holy of Holies resides in your regenerated human spirit in the middle of the tabernacle. And it's all held together by the grace of God.
Have you ever met those who keep humming when the song's through? It's like they're living life to a whole different tune. And have you ever met
monumental like the Eiffel, uncontrollable, let the joy flow through, ha ha. Giddy over pretty, pretty please, let me see your hands in the air with you at your seats. Warm it up, let go, shout it out, celebrate. When you can't articulate, just say amazing grace.
The second you realize when you have inside, it's only just a matter of
somebody. I don't know who this is, but the last four on your phone is 3332. Who is this? Your mic is open. 3332. Can I help you this morning? Hello?
I'm here to a million. Wasn't that far, you know. It wasn't a long boardwalk. But now, you know, I've never been back there. I've never been on that boardwalk.
Who is
they say they built it up. I've been
who
to Atlantic City, but I've
who
never been down there on the boardwalk.
Who is this?
So
who
I
is it?
So I got to go see how that boardwalk is.
Who is it?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm definitely going now, girl. Like I like sitting on the bench and watching people. I can do that all day long. I can do that
who
the whole
is
day.
Who is
this?
We have a down there with a Roger on. And a couple years ago, my cousin and her daughter, their friend, we went to, you know, a hotel room with them for the weekend. So in this bar, it was pouring. It was like this massive storm.
Who
and
is
this? I was talking to this guy who wrote a book. I forget his name now. I think his first name was Stephen, who wrote a book about back, I don't know if it was in the 50s, where they used to have this horse jump off.
See, you never know. You never know. You never know.